Let's talk a little bit about how the modified accelerated cost recovery system answers those basic questions you need in order to depreciate. The first question that it answers is what's the salvage value of the assets that you're depreciating? What it used to be before the modified accelerated cost recovery system of about 1986 is that people would have a little fight with the IRS. Essentially, what people would do is argue that the salvage value of their assets were low, while the IRS would argue that they were a little bit higher. So what people were doing by arguing that they're low is they're looking for more depreciation early, so they would have reductions in their taxes fairly early on, so that later on, far out in the future, they can pay some of the taxes due. Well, what that modified accelerated cost recovery system did is said, okay, fine, we give up, the salvage value is zero. And so effectively what they've done is they've given up on salvage value. Now that doesn't mean that later on, if you sell the asset for more than zero, you're not going to have to pay tax. That's depreciation recovery. We'll deal with it. But it means that you're going to have lots of depreciation early on, deferring your taxes until later on. The second thing that the modified accelerated cost recovery system did is it specified the methods by which you would depreciate. And for the most part, there is going to be some kind of declining balance method, either time and a half or double declining method. And I'll show you how those show up in the tables. But what that means is it's accelerated depreciation. Lots of depreciation now. Lots of depreciation now means lower taxes now. And that's what you're aiming for, is a reduction in expense now, pushing it off in the future with as much as possible. The deviation from the declining balance method is for real properties, and real properties are done with a straight line convention throughout. The other thing that it did some funny things with time conventions. And we talked about having to have the service date be very important to you, and you still got to know exactly what the service date is. But as far as the time steps used for counting depreciation, the modified accelerated cost recovery system sticks to three separate time conventions. There's a mid-year convention and a mid-month convention used for assets which are not real, sorry, mid-year convention and mid-quarter convention used for assets that are not real estate, and a mid-month convention for real estate assets. Now, anytime you deal with something that's real estate, something that is a house, something that's going to be an apartment or industrial complex, you pretend that even though you bought it on, say, the 3rd of January, you pretend it as if you bought it in the middle of January. And the idea is that it doesn't matter when you buy it within the month, you're always going to go ahead and have half a month's worth of depreciation in the month that you purchase it. And the next month you get a full month's worth of depreciation, and so on down the line. So the idea is if you buy an asset, again, like an apartment building, in the middle of January, you get half a month's worth of depreciation in January, and then you also get full month of depreciation, February, March, April, May, June, July, and all the way on through the rest of the year. So this is what you do for the things like real estate. It also works when you sell the asset. So you could sell it on, say, July 31st. You still only get half a month's worth of depreciation in July. So you get depreciation a full month in January, February, March, April, May, June. And then when it comes to July, you only get half a month there. Now the other two conventions, the mid-year and the mid-quarter, are for things that aren't houses, the things that aren't structures. For the most part, we're always going to be using the mid-year convention here. And what this means is it doesn't matter what part of the year you go ahead and you buy your asset in, you still get half a year's worth of depreciation the first year. So January 1st is your service date, you still get half a year's worth of depreciation. December 31st, you still get half a year's worth of depreciation. So you could have a situation like this. You buy an asset on January 1st of one year. You would get half a year's worth of depreciation in that year. You own it for the entirety of the next year, and you get a full year's worth of depreciation in that year. And then the following year, you sell it also on January 1st. Well, then that year of sale, you also get half a year's worth of depreciation. And what this does is it makes it so that the buyer and the seller don't necessarily fight on when things are being transferred for depreciation purposes. No matter when it takes place, everyone gets half the year's worth of depreciation. Now, the other convention that kicks in is this mid-quarter convention. You can be forced to use the mid-quarter convention, or you can elect to use the mid-quarter convention. So what happens is that if you within a certain asset class start making lots and lots and lots of asset purchases, if more than 40% of them within that asset class are within the last quarter of the year, instead of applying the mid-year convention to those assets, you get shifted over to the mid-quarter, which means that you start buying too many things in December. Instead of getting half a year's worth of depreciation, 6 months, you only get a month and a half because you're in the mid-quarter convention. This is something the IRS had sorted out already. You can also elect to use the mid-quarter convention if you have some pretty precise ideas about when you're going to sell assets in the future in order to maximize the amount of depreciation you get in the year of sale. Now, within this class, we're going to use only the mid-year convention, and this will be for our, sorry, mid-year convention and mid-month convention. We'll use the mid-year for all of our non-real estate things. We'll use the mid-month for our real estate things, and we'll ignore mid-quarter. But you got to remember that in real world, you do have the mid-quarter convention. It can show up as a little surprise for you, or it's something you can plan for in order to reduce your tax burden fairly early on.